Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I need you by my side. Forgive me for my pride. Please hear my cry before the throne.
One moment, please. I'm first going to discuss some work ethics that I experienced, and then we're going straight into analyzing why James Comey had a full plate the election year, and it wasn't as biased as people think. He was very forthright in sharing with the American public what were underwent two investigations about Hillary Clinton, and I'll get into that. And, of course, we're going to talk about Russian collusion. John and Don are on the phone. Thank you for being prompt. I just wanted to go into a little bit of, I haven't spoken much to anybody about my situation. I did lose a job about 2 weeks ago. It was September 21st. I found another job in the same field exactly 1 week later. I was hired on a Tuesday, which was this past Tuesday. I felt like it was an organization that was, first of all, profit-driven, in which money came before the clients. Now, these are people who are suffering from drugs and alcohol, and they're struggling to make it, and I can't go into personal details about their lives. But I do have to say that the company was driven by profits. And every day we had to meet 30 minutes with 3 different clients per staff so that they could build a state of Minnesota to make more money. Many of the meetings were repetitive, but I'm going to complain about something else. There was a director there who meant well, but she was also trying to get involved in other people's personal lives without knowing the full picture. There was one employee who worked overnights who had no relationship with her family. She has 3 kids. I don't know the circumstances, but, well, I sort of do, but I can't say it on the air. One night she revealed to me some very important family information about someone I worked with in another company that was a breach of confidentiality, but I forgave her over the period of 2 weeks, even though I was mortified that it happened. It was along the lines of somebody having cancer and telling other people before the primary source revealed it. So what happened was I went in on a Tuesday and they told me that I had texted 2 people outside of work and that I was going to be fired. And then they told me, the person who handled the money told me that I have poor boundaries and these are people I actually knew and they weren't my enemies. Now we have 2 people from the 775. I wonder if one of them's Don's relative. Anyways, we have Suzette on the line now and Don and somebody else from the 775 and John. So I'm not going to go too much more into it. The only thing I was going to say is that when you have personal relationships with people and you're texting them outside of work, it could be for anything. One person I texted them 3 days before I left the job saying I needed some advice. That was it. And then I didn't get back to her because I was busy. The other person was a 25-year-old kid. And every day I worked with her the first 3 months, she asked me if she could put me, her, in my will. In other words, if I died, she wanted money because her mother had died the year before. She crossed boundaries with me constantly. She was a smart ass. And all I did is when she resigned from the organization, I texted her and I asked her if she was doing okay. And I'm assuming that's the person who reported me. But needless to say, people can be innocent and they can pursue some, you know, like asking people how they're doing, and it can turn out badly. So this was a company run by a bunch of henpeckers. There was a nurse, a director, 2 directors actually, a human resource director and the owner, and then 2 people from the county who seemed pretty decent and had good things to say. But there was too many fingers in the pie, and every day we would get direction from 5 or 6 people, and we were actually improving. And then Terry fired the cook, which was really bad. And then she also fired 4 other people between November and May. So it just... it bothers me because I was a loyal employee and I cared about serving the people who were trying to recover from alcohol and drugs. And it all became like a Barbie sleepover party or a telephone game. And nothing was explained. Nothing made sense. But luckily I found a job within another week and I also still qualified for unemployment. So because I have 4 people on the line, I'm not going to go into further detail. We'll see who all these people are. I know who most of them are. This is Jane. Hi, Don. How you doing? Earth to Don.
Hey, I'm surviving. Kind of sound like
good.
Albert now. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
still
have
alive.
A chance to text. Yeah, that he always says that I'm surviving. Hi, John. Are you on a steady boat or on land?
I actually found a rail line going to Santa Monica. I jumped it from the bus to the rail because apparently the rail system in L.A. in downtown has
it's the
COVID.
Green line.
Well, I took the blue was closed. That's downtown going to Santa Monica, Long Beach. And apparently it's got COVID on the weekend. They shut the whole thing down. However, I was taking the blue bus or the Metro bus, sorry, orange, and I asked him, hey, is there any way to, you know, get to Santa Monica? He said, hey, just jump on an expo. And they have a kind of like a backup sub train going through there just to cover. So here I am.
That's
I'm
the
on,
train I took
about...
to visit you last time I was there.
Oh, what about it?
That's the train that I came. I took it from downtown to visit you all the way through USC, the expo line, to see you in Santa Monica on foot.
I have to tell you, it's a much smoother ride. The rail is smooth. Riding on the bus, I forgot. I mean, I'm bouncing up and down, left and right. And let's just say the clientele was a step below. See, I'm digging the rail.
Yeah, I took that rail to visit you, and that was the same weekend that Wade and us had dinner at that Chinese restaurant. Either John or Don has background noise.
But the rail's twice as fast because it's got, you know, maybe five or six stops along the way, whereas on the bus, it's stopping every other block because someone's, you know, pinging the line for the bus driver to stop. So this is cool. It's much faster. It's like 20 minutes. The other way is like an hour and a half to get over to West Side.
Yep, it's a very good line. It's above ground, and it's kind of like a railroad thing. With that, I'm going to bring Suzette in and the imaginary guest caller from 775. Hi, Suzette. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Sorry to hear what you're going through there. But
I just thought I'd mention it on the air. I didn't really have it articulated, but it was mainly about ethics. I think I insulted that person because I said they were the imaginary guest caller, and now they hung up.
Oh, no.
Don, was your wife calling in?
No.
Okay, well, whoever it was from the 775, I insulted them because I didn't mean to say imaginary. I meant to say, like, somebody I didn't know. So, anyways, hi, Suzette. How has your week been?
So far, well, thank you. A little busy, but busy's good. You know.
Okay, I only have like a three-sentence introduction before I believe it'll be John who will be attacking me. And hopefully Ben will come on the air tonight. The only thing... I just want to let you guys know I watched the first three episodes of The Comey Rule, and the one thing I didn't know about James Comey is he tried, now I don't care if you agree with me, just let me get it out. He tried to do everything by the book. So first of all, he had a team of like seven people, including that Lisa Page, who was very outspoken. They did not want James Comey to announce there was being an investigation on the Clinton emails until after they came to a conclusion. So it was his idea to bring it forth to the public. And then when Anthony Weiner got arrested for texting a tween on Twitter, they found more concealed Hillary emails in Anthony Weiner's laptop. And 11 days before the election, they decided to reopen the investigation, and Comey said there was no choice. He had to tell the general public that he was reopening the case, because if he did it and then people found out later, it would look like he was deceiving somebody. So they, now I don't care if you guys agree with me or not, but they scrambled to scour those 31,000 emails line by line. They probably had 15 people helping, and they didn't want to go outside their unit because then it would be too hard to train somebody. But Hillary was, it was determined by them that they shouldn't prosecute, but they handed the information over to the DOJ. And James Comey had a strained relationship with Loretta Lynch all throughout the program, including the thing about, you know, Bill Clinton meeting her on the tarmac. So basically, James Comey didn't pay Hillary Clinton any favors, and it turned out the way it turned out, and Donald Trump won. Well, then we all know the second part of the story is that Robert Mueller opened the investigation on the Trump team, and they found out through that investigation that there was no condemning prosecution, you know, that was going to arise from that. So Hillary and Trump were both exonerated in a sense, even though they know that Trump had direct ties to the Russians and was having conversations with them. So with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to whoever wants to speak.
Well, I don't mind jumping in right off the top. I'll make it very simple. Jane, you said a lot of statements that just don't ring true, and I'll hit them really quick. First, you said that Comey did Hillary no favors. Actually, Hillary was guilty, as we know, of the 33,000 email delete and smashing her phones and on and on, and her conduct was considered felony. It was felonious. It was, and what he did is he changed the wording. He was told by Valerie Jarrett and the Clinton crew, change the wording. So he did a press conference and he said, well, she used poor judgment, basically, instead of saying she did criminal activity. And that's what they would have nailed her. So he covered her ass. Second of all, and we talked about this before, Jane and I had lunch about a summer and a half ago, and I read the James Comey testimony. And over 140 some times, he said, I don't know, I can't remember, I'm not too sure. Yet he documented every conversation with the first two or three meetings with Donald Trump, explicitly going over meticulous detail, how he walked, what the weather was, the lighting, everything. And suddenly he had several months to prepare his testimony for Congress, and then he ran into, I don't know, I can't remember. It got to the point that Jane said, just, I don't want to hear anymore. She said, stop.
I didn't want to hear anymore, because at that time I was a big Comey fan, but now that I've watched the Showtime program, I feel like he was trying to do the best by the ethics of the FBI. Like, if Hillary was going to be thrown under the bus, she was going to be thrown there. But it wasn't him doing the cover up. There was a team of eight people.
Well,
they decided it was not enough to prosecute. I'm not in the FBI. I'm just reporting what I heard.
You're reporting the propaganda show, because James Comey.
Well, it was a very well-written show, and Rod Rosenstein criticized Comey left and right. Nobody on the team agreed to make those announcements 10 days before the election. They all thought that Hillary was done. She had a fork in her. She wasn't going to win at all.
Apparently you didn't listen to the other side of the facts regarding McCabe, regarding the Orrs, Bruce and Nellie Orr, who worked at Fusion GPS, who was hired by Perkins Coie, who worked for the DNC and for the Hillary Clinton campaign, and that you didn't know, or you've forgotten that Baker,
McCabe was not always a backer of Comey either. He was very forthright with Comey on things that he didn't like. Now, I know
and
that
you
McCabe...
have to remember,
let's let Suzette and other people jump in. McCabe also donated to the Clinton.
You can go with your fantasy show. I'm giving you the facts. And I'm not only
spending
5 minutes.
Fine, give us the facts. But can you let
Jane,
give that talk?
She admitted she was going. Jane admitted she was going by what she was presented in the show, and regardless of whether we agree or not agree, she's asking our opinions about the situation. She's not saying she believe, you know, as far as what she saw is correct, what she didn't see is correct. She's just going by what was presented. Is that correct, Jane?
Right. I think that I felt like what, no matter what John thinks about the corruption, that Comey tried to do the best by the American people, because his ethic was that the FBI is an independent organization. It shouldn't be a political mantra. And they did thoroughly investigate both the Clinton and the Trump investigations and reports. And they both came up empty in a sense. Now,
Jane, you're making statements that make no sense. They arrested Papadopoulos. They imprisoned.
I know all that. I'm just saying that Trump himself did not get prosecuted for that.
Listen to me. Those people had 2 or 3 lies to the FBI. We're talking minimal lies about dates and times and who they talked to. Hillary Clinton deleted 33,000 emails. She had phones smashed. We're talking severe, major, major criminal, felonious activity, and they swept it under the ground. And remember Michael Cohen. And remember all the other guy. The point.
I know. And Paul Manafort was arrested too, but
Manafort,
he also ripped off a
bank. They put him in solitary.
There were three people in the Russian, in the Trump campaign that had ties to Russia. That was years ago. Except for Michael Flynn, who got $45,000 for a speech right before the 2016 vote.
As you know, Michael Sussman just got indicted by John Durham. And there will be other indictments coming. He started the Russian collusion lie. Hillary Clinton, her team sent out an email saying, we have to start the idea of a Russian collusion with Donald Trump to divert attention from my 33,000 deleted emails.
Well, guess what Donald Trump did to Hillary? He started the crooked Hillary campaign and exploited all those facts about her, which you believe.
Including
the fact that she drinks blood.
Criminal activity that she should be in jail for. And she started the email. This is fact. She sent out an email saying, please start a Russian collusion, which was started by Michael Sussman handing information for Perkins Coie, and they forwarded on to John McCain, and they ran it through the whole FBI, through the ORs, Brusinelli OR, through Fusion GPS. This is fact, and you refuse to even look at the evidence.
Don't make outlandish statements that I refuse to do this or I refuse to do that.
I'm speaking facts.
I'm going to turn the floor over to Suzette now, if you don't mind.
I know. I burned you up.
So somebody else can
run.
Talk.
I understand.
Okay, go ahead, Suzette.
Sit down. Go to Suzette.
Okay. So what was presented, I'm guessing, as far as the James Comey story is and how he handled everything. So, and ethically correct as though they presented it from what you said. So my question would be to the people, the filmmakers, of course, they've got to portray him in a good light, you know. But so they ignored the fact that, okay, as far as ethically speaking, when James Comey originally had come out and announced all of these things that they found with Hillary Clinton, as John was saying, the 33,000 emails, the destruction of devices, even though they were under subpoena, and so were the emails, her servers, all of these things were under subpoena. And the night before, as far as presenting them to the court or whatever, they destroyed them, everything, and said, oops, well, we didn't know. And so he let that slide, the server, the 33,000 emails, the destruction of the devices, and those things. Any other normal person, if they had to turn in property or evidence that was subpoenaed, if they destroyed it, they'd be sitting in jail.
Yes, and also I wanted to repeat, they said over and over in the first two episodes that Hillary's lawyers dragged their feet. They didn't provide evidence in a timely manner, like they did it in a slow manner. But
mm-hmm.
when the Anthony Weiner story blew in 2016, of course, we know he was had bad behavior before that. Anthony Weiner, there were more emails on there that had to be examined, and luckily they weren't purged.
Right. But see, what happened there was because James Comey did not indict Hillary Clinton the first time around when he came out with that long list of things that she could have been indicted for, and he said, we decided that no reasonable prosecutor would follow up with this case. That was because he changed the wording so it would require intent. Before, it was just basically, if these things are done under code section, blah, 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 this would be considered an indictable offense. But because he added intent, now he had to prove that she meant to deceive people by getting an outside email address and a server at her home and deleting emails.
She got her own, what do you call it?
Right.
Not only, like she got her own website and server
her own
and blah,
email.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, she had an email
server.
So she
was trying to cover up something, but I'm just reporting what I watched because I'm just trying to learn more.
Sure.
I'm not trying to review
going over
what
the
Donna's
things that
saying.
Well, I'm pointing out the things that they most likely had left out as far as the ethical concerns. When he said that Hillary Clinton claimed that there were no foreign leaks from her emails, he said that they found, I think, two or three documents that were actually compromised. And then he went on to the next item and the next item. So if he was ethical, he wouldn't have added intent to get her off. Now, later, a few months down the line, when they found John Weiner's laptop and Hillary Clinton's assistant, that her husband, whatever, and they found other emails
Huma
on
Abedin.
There. Huma Abedin. Yes, thank you. He had to save face now for not indicting her, so he had to make it look good. Like they really did try diligently to find, to go through everything to make sure everything was on the up and up, and that's why they didn't indict her type thing. Oh, now we have this, so we're going to look at this now. So he was saving face because he should have done something about indicting her
right.
about the other.
And I just want to mention to John before he comments again that when they got Weiner's laptop and they found all the other encrypted emails, they could have just brushed it on the rug and not told the American public. But they didn't. They scoured them all. And he sent two letters to the top leaders in the legislature to inform them that he was doing this, and the news media found out, of course, and there was nothing hidden at that particular moment. No, maybe
he held a press conference.
Did a horseshit job, John. But I'm just reporting what I watch. I'm not saying I'm the final authority on the matter. That's why we have four co-hosts, so we have other people to comment.
Right, and then when James Comey was fired. And he testified before Congress after he was fired as far as, okay, so.
Yes, I watched
we know that
part
you
of
had
that testimony tonight.
Yeah, you wrote the memo and he testified. Well, they said, why did you give it to your friend, the professor or whatever, to make it public to the media? And he says, because he wanted to, so that Donald Trump, he wanted to get Donald Trump or something to that effect. And so he that's why he did it. But because it was classified, he should have never done that. That was another ethical concern there. There were a lot of little ethical things that were improper about the processes that he was participating in. And so it was kind of he walked the line as far as, okay, unethical, but then I'm going to do something ethical. I'm going to do something unethical and something ethical. So he kind of bounced back and forth between the
things. Well, I think he was struggling because he got mixed advice from his team. Now, John, I did put you on mute briefly because I heard Slick talking in the background. So I just want to read this caption before John jumps in, and then I'll let Don go.
Okay.
We're talking about the Mueller investigation now with Russia. Before I say that, I would say that Hillary losing about 35%, in my opinion, was attributed to the emails. Now, there were other factors why she lost, but that was one of them. Also, the DNC got hacked by the Russians, and all the DNC top emails were released, and it was embarrassing because there was a couple of derogatory Latino emails and blah, blah, blah. So here's the one Mueller conclusion, and then I'll let John back in. The special counsel found that Russia did interfere with the election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple efforts from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. So in other words, people were involved. I know all about the rest of Manafort, but some of that had to do with taking tens of millions of dollars from other parts of Russia, including the Ukraine. So with that, I'm going to let John back in, and then maybe Don would want to comment. Hi, John.
Wait, can I just say one thing?
Hello,
did they
Jane.
Say what it was, that how the Russians had infiltrated the election? Did they mention
well,
that it was
they,
with $5,000?
They infiltrated Facebook with ads vilifying Hillary Clinton. And I'm not even fully through episode 3. But before I even watched this, I knew that the Russians had concocted the crooked Hillary slogan and campaign. And I'm not going to go into the details of that because John's going to blow up on me on that and try to prove me wrong.
I'm just curious how the Russians concocted that. But,
they infiltrated Facebook and they did some other crap, and they told one of the Trump sons that they had dirt on Hillary, and they were trying to provoke him that way and stuff like that. Okay, John, go ahead.
Well, you know, probably we should turn on the Disney cartoon channel, and that way you could get a little more reality. You made the statement again that the DNC. You made the statement that the DNC was hacked by the Russians, and again, that's been the narrative. That's been the boogeyman. And as you know, the four people who worked on
the system. Can you tell Slick not to yap in the background?
Oh, I'm going to be getting off the bus or the rail in about two more stops. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the rail system that has COVID.
It's okay. Go ahead.
But the bottom line is that the Russian narrative has been originated and propagated by the Clinton campaign. If you look at the gentleman, and I have to pull up his name, he debunked it. The download couldn't come from Russia. The information was too big, the file too large, and it couldn't handle. They couldn't send it. No one could hack it. It was an inside from a heart from a drive that someone inserted into the server, which means probably Seth Rich, who was murdered within a week. And who Schumer had said, whoever did this, whoever hacked us, you know, they're dead. They basically said, you know, they'll get whacked. And I have to get, it's been so long, stopped following this stuff because it was so fake, it was so phony. Why even bother? It won't be perfect, but the actual metrics. And I can pull that for, I can look it up. It's impossible for it to have been hacked by the Russians overseas on a line. It was an inside on a hard drive, on a drive.
I remember we had an episode when and Ben was on it, when we were talking about like how many nanoseconds it would take or some kind of downloading device. It had something to do with time and transferring information.
Right, it'd be like me saying, "Oh yeah, the Russians took the bus from downtown to Santa Monica in 5 minutes." You say, "No, you need a Maserati going 140 from downtown on a clear night to get from downtown to Santa Monica." That's what they were saying when they say the Russians. When you say, "Oh, the Russians hacked the DNC," oh, by the way, you can fly to New York in 20 minutes. In a plane. No, you can't. Maybe in a jet fighter going, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, you could do it in 2 hours. But no, it's impossible. And again, I'm not doing conspiracy.
I just want to tell you throughout, I've only watched 2.5 episodes, and throughout it, Rod Rosenstein was criticizing Comey. He even criticized Obama for complimenting Comey on something. It wasn't just a Democratic Party free-for-all, like, orgy. There was critical voices among members in the top level of government.
The point is, and I love you all, but the point is, it's beyond frustrating. It just makes no sense to talk facts and logic and to watch people ignore.
Well, your guy won. At least one good thing happened.
No.
Your Trumpster won. He won the election.
That's not what it was about, though. It was about the level of corruption that tried to prevent the election of Donald Trump, that basically should be reviewed, and people should, if they were improper. Evidence shows it, which we have evidence of wrongdoing within the FBI, CIA, and NSA.
Okay, I do have a question, though, Suzette and John. Like, if Hillary was behind the scheme that Russia, whatever, if Hillary is behind the scheme and it was really her and not Russia, why did so much bad press come up? Why did so much bad press come out on her if she had control over everything?
She didn't have control over everything. She had control of a certain amount of information, which was the disinformation campaign about Donald Trump and his team. And so that information alone would cause people to, there were people that believed that Donald Trump was conspiring with the Russians and that they were trying to get him arrested. I mean, not arrested, elected. And so that did work to a certain extent. But then, later these things started proving true when Donald Trump said he was wiretapped, and the newspapers and everybody else was saying, no, we don't wiretap anymore. And it was basically a form of wiretapping, but it turned out to be true. And it came out in committee hearing that was true. And pretty much everything that Donald Trump had complained about, things that he complained about that the FBI or CIA or Justice Department or whatever were doing, then later it would come out. Okay, that's what happened.
He blamed Obama for somebody tapping him at Trump Towers.
Mm-hmm. And not giving him access as a duly elected president to security briefings that he should have had, and also Michael Flynn. So basically they were working against him before he ever got into office without any justification.
Guess who told Obama not to tell Trump everything?
It was
the FBI and the CIA, because they didn't trust Donald Trump.
Well, they were also working for the Democrat Party. And that will come out. I don't know if it'll come out in the series that you're watching, but it did come out in committee hearing. And people couldn't answer questions to the committee. And when they did answer questions, they basically outed themselves. And the Perkins Coie or whatever that John was saying, that's the law firm that the Clinton campaign had hired to disinformation Donald Trump, which then they got in touch with Christopher Steele, MI6, to find dirt, Russia dirt or whatever, to nail Donald Trump with. Well, then it turned out that Christopher Steele had met with some guy, or his husband did, at a bar, and they were just joshing him as far as, Donald Trump, yeah, we know him. He was at a hotel with these hookers, and the whole peace story and all that. And they were just joking because this guy was being annoying. And there was a group of people that had met this Sussman guy or whatever, and Sussman reported to Christopher Steele, and Christopher Steele reported back to Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie had his wife, Nellie, and he worked for the his wife worked for Perkins Coie. Her husband worked for the FBI.
Nellie lady.
Mm-hmm. And so
the story that came out in the Showtime production was that, now, back in 2016, I heard Trump took golden showers with the Russian hookers, like they were in some kind of shower room and someone was pissing on the floor. Well, the story that came out in the Showtime was that Donald Trump and a few Russian hookers pissed in the suite on the bed that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama slept in. Wow. In other words, they defile the bed because they were in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so get this.
But I heard in 2016 the casual rumor that was circulating through social media was that Trump liked golden showers and it was a sexual thing and it had nothing to do with the Obamas.
Right. Not only that, but he's a germaphobe. It never happened. It was a story that was made up. And it was leaked to BuzzFeed by Sussman, who BuzzFeed, oh, he also leaked it to Yahoo News. So when BuzzFeed had gone to verify their story, they're like, oh, it's in Yahoo News. Well, not Yahoo News said, oh, BuzzFeed has it. And so it must be a verified story because these are our sources of where we got the story from, which is so ridiculous, but it actually happened. And you can't use a source that was basically the source of the Clinton campaign or going back and forth saying, that's my source, and this is my source. And so going back and forth and going, yeah, you verified it. Well, we copied it because you verified it. Nobody verified it. And it turned out to be a non-story, a non-misinformation or disinformation that went around. But, yeah, originally people knew Donald Trump, and they would know he was a germaphobe, and that wasn't true in the first place. But not only that, but the whole source thing was so funny. It was like, oh, well, you can't do that. You can't use that person as a source if they didn't verify
right.
it.
Right. Even they no. did mention the dossier in the series, and they also mm-hmm. mentioned that it wasn't corroborated. Like
right.
there was no facts in the dossier to corroborate the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that
so my
story
question
is in
to
that
you,
dossier.
And I'm sure John has a response. Don, are you still with us?
I'm listening oh, yeah. As the cartoon hour continues. Go right ahead.
Wait, I have a question for everybody.
It's a cartoon
I have a question
hour
for
because,
everybody.
Because all of this
I want to know
is
if all this,
all this
bullshit
is no, irrelevant.
Wait, Don, just a minute. Let me ask the question. Okay. Hillary and Donald Trump were two very contentious, polarizing candidates. With all the bullshit that circulated around Washington, and now that we have Biden in there, can anything be accomplished in Washington, or is it an ongoing shit show?
Well, there's a lot being
shit
accomplished.
Shit show.
But, John,
shit
I want to ask why.
Shit
I'm a
show.
Character. I'm a cartoon character.
Yes, John, you can go ahead and insult me, but don't insult Suzette, because she's stating
oh, no.
relevant facts. I don't that care if you
Brittany.
Call me Brittany on the Disney Channel, but don't insult my co-host, who's been very respectful
oh, no. actually,
to all of us.
Actually, Suzette's bringing clarity to the Cartoon Network. Dawn is actually the head promoter for the network. But basically, going back to the Fusion GPS thing and the Russian collusion, it was made up. And you were saying, oh, there's a rumor that Donald Trump loves golden showers. He's a germaphobe.
No, she said she
he's
claimed that.
Suzette already said
yeah.
that. I'm just telling you what the rumors were in 2016. I'm not verifying it.
He doesn't
right.
even like to shake hands, and I believe is it Glenn Simpson from Fusion, whoever the Glenn is for Fusion GPS. He not only that he created the story that they did on Trump. They had the same story for McCain. He printed it in about 2004, or whenever McCain was running. It had the same characters, the same Russian collusion. Everything was identical. It just take out John McCain and put in Donald Trump, and they figured it worked the first time with McCain. Just do it again. And those are the facts. And as Don,
oh, John.
Don said, yeah,
okay,
it,
but let's
show.
Look
it,
at the result. Awesome. Hillary lost. James Comey was fired. And history was made in other ways.
And Don said she that the story was never verified or corroborated, and so she knows that already as far as the story.
No,
there was nothing
Donald
of it.
Trump.
But
Donald
but
Trump
she
could
should
not,
know that that
at
was...
At least Suzette's listening.
Donald Trump could not do dick. He did do the greatest economy. He turned us around. He shut down the China. But the point is, he spent three of those years fighting for his life being surrounded with this investigations and all the people around him. He had to keep rehiring people and finding out who's deep state. Now he's got people like Miley going, oh, I was going to talk to the Chinese in case just to let them know, because the Chinese knew Donald Trump wasn't going to blow them up. Everyone said, oh, he's going to blow up China. He's going to blow up North Korea. He's going to blow up Afghanistan. No, we had peace because they respected
him. I never thought he was going to do that.
Yeah, well, that's what Miley said. I'll give you the heads up. Well, Pelosi called up and said, be sure to take away the nuclear football from him in case after.
Well, at least we're on the Disney Channel now. You're talking about Miley Cyrus. Like, how much weight does she carry?
Yeah, General Milley. But it also should be noted, and if it wasn't noted in the series, that the dossier with that's uncooperated, as you mentioned, was used to start the ball rolling on the investigation. That's what was brought to Obama to say that we suspect that there is Russian, collaboration with the Trump administration, the incoming administration. And so then they started this investigation.
That was a cheesy beginning, and there was also some military heads in Obama's office that said we have to take this very seriously because we don't want Russia interfering with our elections.
And how is that these people can do that when it wasn't corroborated? Isn't that their job to find that out before they actually bring it to the president, which was Obama at that time, to say this is something
right.
we should take seriously? I mean, gee whiz, if they could just take this thing that was never corroborated.
The FBI is the cornerstone of, and the CIA, if overseas, they're supposed to be the cornerstone of generating truth.
Yeah, you would think. Instead of passing on propaganda to the president in order to establish an investigation that wasn't based on anything except for a writing that was in BuzzFeed, an article in BuzzFeed.
And that's why I think I've been discouraged from American politics since Gore v. Bush election. And, I've been pretty discouraged. I did like Barack Obama a lot. I don't care if you guys criticize me, but I liked him for his ethical background. And don't be criticizing me on that, John. I just liked him.
And the election was stolen from Gore. That was clear. The justices, they had no right in determining that election. And it was, as much as I hate to say that.
Well, they hijacked it from the Florida Supreme Court. They could have at least counted the four counties, but... Even my professor said that Gore did make a mistake. He should have asked for all the counties to be recounted, not just four of them.
We should hear from Don and have his input. But, Jane, you make statements like you love Obama. Name one decision that he made, talking politically, foreign policy, talking Constitution that he did. And forget this. Oh, he talked nice, and an orange man does mean sweet.
Okay. I agree with the fact, I agree with the Iran nuclear deal.
Well, there you go.
There's a bombshell for your butt.
Yeah, the Iran deal.
I don't think we should make enemies out of enemies. I think everybody's within the range of being worked with.
Right.
And you shouldn't really criticize her, John, because she answered you. You asked her, and she answered you. Now to criticize her,
giving $1 billion. You like giving $1 billion to Muslim terrorists.
I said. It was a cooperative effort between the UN and international bodies, including German scientists, that went down there and inspected. And if they complied with the program, then they got rewards. Now they're completely alienated from the United States. And there was one thing in the Showtime movie that said if a question was raised whether Donald Trump, what would happen if he was closer aligned with Putin? And they named all the policies that would fall apart if he aligned with Putin, including causing a risk in death to Syria and the Iranian deal falling through and all the other things that was going to complement Russia.
Right. Like, a half a million people getting killed in Syria, Lebanon. Or how about giving, I believe it's a billion, I could be wrong, it's either 100 million or, I believe it's a billion, in increments of 100 million cash, not approved by Congress, sent to people who screamed death to America by Barack Obama. What is your justification for that?
He gave the money back that we froze in the banks in the 1970s.
Yeah,
we didn't give them our money. We gave the Iranians back their money.
Why did we wait 50 years under Barack Obama? Why, like, they were so...
I don't know.
So,
I think it was a former agreement that was that came to fruition. I don't have all the answers.
That money was in addition because of frozen assets. Or it just takes a button to release. The money was in addition. The pallet money was in addition to the release of the
program. First of all, I just want to mention something because I'm going to turn the floor over to Don. It's Saturday night, and I pay for this radio show, and I don't want to be on trial.
Well, then,
I mean, can we have a little fun on the Disney Channel?
where were you on January 26th of 1989 at 11 p.m.?
Let's see here. I was living in Los Angeles. I believe it snowed that year at Christmas, and I was working at the L.A. Times.
Wrong. Guilty. 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 The Spanish
and
Inquisition.
And 3 years, guess, John, I have a trivia question for you. Where were you on 9/11 in Los Angeles at 9/11/2001?
Was that for Don or for John?
John.
2 days before, on Sunday, 9/9, I jumped off the stage at the Whiskey, and I shattered my leg, and 2 days later, I only missed 2 days of work. I went back the next day. I never missed a day after that, but I was sitting at home in the cast with my leg propped up when someone called me around, I don't know, in the morning, 8 or 9, said, you got to turn on the TV, it's the end of the world. I said, what are you talking about? And then I got to see the other circus, planes hitting buildings, and then buildings dissolving. And at the time, I said, this is terrible.
I guess why I asked you the question, because I thought you were in the office with me at SOS. Because
no,
Brian Rosenblum, Brian sent us home at noon that day.
It might have been a couple of days.
Because we were in downtown L.A. and he thought something might happen in L.A.
Yeah, I think everything was shut down for a couple of days. So Thursday or Friday, we could go back to work, I believe.
Okay, Suzette,
but the point is,
where were you during
9/11? I was getting ready for work that morning and turned on the news, and I was curling my hair and looking in the mirror at the news behind me on the television and saw the second plane. I turned around after the second plane had gone into – I was like, what? And my husband was asleep, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I also kept saying, oh, my God. And he's like, what? And I'm like pointing to the TV going, look. And so, yeah, I was
That's
at home getting ready for work.
That's a good description. Don, you're on the air.
Where?
We thought we'd include you.
Wow. What?
The tip from the black man.
Yeah, and you just took the words right out of my mouth.
What do you have to contribute to this show? And could you comment on the leadership in Washington nowadays?
Well, you got to remember that I'm a kingmaker. I take care of campaigns. I'm in deep in the party, and I'm a citizen lobbyist.
Is your alias Christopher Steele?
I wouldn't lie. That's what I try to do, is make sure that there's transparency and truth. Everything that you guys are talking about, all the bullshit, is by white men who are creating something. They they created the dossier. They created things to bury Trump and Clinton. They created Russian scenarios. These people are paid to create bullshit. They're lying. They're lying all the time, and they're paid to deceive. And so
why couldn't Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton be cordial with each other like Jimmy Carter would be to maybe a candidate back in the 70s?
Because that's a campaign. Both of them are crooked as motherfucking fuck. All right?
Okay, use better language.
They both should be in jail. I can't put it in better language. We spent a motherfucking hour talking about some bullshit.
Just because we were talking about a movie that I'm watching.
And it's a movie. I don't look at movies because I know how they're made. Every person, every actor.
That's not true. There's a lot of independent films right now, including four on Britney Spears.
And guess what? Britney Spears has been through hell. She was, in terms of possibly, I don't know her story completely, but most actors anyway and actresses get there by sleeping up the ladder.
The food chain. She didn't do that. She was a Disney star.
And Marilyn Chambers was too, and she's one of my favorite actresses. You got to be able to discern right from wrong, good from bad, truth from fiction. And right now, there is no such thing as the general public, you guys, who know zero, nothing. Don't discern.
Okay, don't slaughter
don't,
us.
What, don't what?
We
don't,
have
don't
our
truth.
We have our own intellectual candor. Oh. You can't just...
Don believes
they're called the Disney Channel.
That white
the
people
Disney
lie
Channel.
And black people don't lie. He doesn't know about jive talking. He doesn't know about pimps or hustlers. He doesn't know about on the street, you know, how we talk, use the N-word, and we're keeping it real, right?
Ain't nobody keeping
because
it
black
keeping
people.
But he knows about Kamala
lie.
Harris and Jill Stein.
They call it
black
keeping
men
it
don't
real.
Cheat on their wives. And when they go on the NBA, when they go on
they
tour,
do.
Like the NBA players,
they do, and they don't.
They do not.
They don't
not,
lie about. They don't lie
they do
about
not.
It, a pimp doesn't lie. He just grabs a bitch, throws her in a house, and tells her to spread her legs and fuck. There's no lying about that. R. Kelly, he wasn't lying. He didn't lie until he had to go to court. So this is that, you know, this shit is real. John is right. There's no, black people don't have to lie because we don't have to lie to kick it. We don't, when you don't have anything, you don't have anything to lose. And the truth, I mean, black men know.
R. Kelly did.
They're going. But he didn't lie about it. He had it on videotape. He wanted people to see him fucking 14-year-old girls. There was no problem
okay,
with that.
I'm changing the subject. This is R-rated, and we're violating Blog Talk Radio policies.
But you are, you're talking about stuff that is a lie in itself. That's violating policy.
Well, you know what? I work a lot, and I had to pick the topic in a hurry. So if you don't
but
like it, too bad.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
We're still talking about how complicated American politics is.
Because
like
I was
listening to National Public Radio today, and the Filipino public was super sad that one of their top leaders is stepping down.
Right.
And they're propping up their daughter to run on a national level, who's already a mayor. Like,
well, today,
people just want someone that they can trust and worship.
Today,
not in a
Marshall,
biblical sense, but we need
today,
somebody to admire.
Today, we don't. Today, we just, I was a marshal. Pat was one of the main speakers at a Roe versus Wade rally. And one of the main things that was talked about was tear down patriarchy. Let women have a voice. And that's, you know, white patriarchy is the main reason we've got death right in front of us. So the white man...
I'm sure John spelled...
The white man...
Was she promoting women's reproductive rights?
Correct.
Don hates white people, and he wants to
I don't
separate
hate white people.
Racism. You want to use racism.
I don't
it's
hate
like
white
want,
people.
Maybe Don,
John.
Maybe Don wants all the white women to abort their children.
Well, see,
no,
Don
I don't want...
Don probably wants a separate black anthem and a white anthem, so that way we can separate. And they also want schools where only black people attend, and only black cities, to keep away the white
we
people.
We do have
you
that.
You want to segregate.
We call it the public
school
system.
You want to separate.
It's called Oakland.
It's called the public school system. That's why they want charter schools that are going bankrupt as we speak in mass. You guys don't understand shit. That all what you.
I hate
said,
when
John,
you say that, because you're discrediting us.
I
and since you told me last night on the phone you're sending money in for the radio show, I'm charging you double.
Don likes racism, and Joe loves
D,
to have him on the
I,
show.
I,
we need our
resident.
No, you're going to give us some
R,
credit for. You're going to give us some credit
I,
for our.
D.
I still
I
have the mute button, motherfucker.
I don't give credit to anyone for anything. Period.
No, it's free speech. Don can be racist. It's okay. He can believe
I'm
that white people
racist.
Are inferior. God,
I'm not
God
racist.
Needs
separation. Don, you blanket criticize us. You have to.
Yes,
you have to.
Not,
you have to cherry
racist.
Pick what we say right and wrong. That's lazy debate. You're not the authority on everything. No, be rational.
I didn't say I was an authority on everything. All I know is that I am in the inside. If you guys are looking at things.
Okay,
from
so tell us what Tom.
Blurb.
Tell us what Kamala Harris and Tom Steyer whisper in your ear.
What they were whispering in my. Why?
And plus.
That,
I have a picture of you and Hillary right on our website, right in our radio show pages. So tell us what Hillary Clinton whispered in your ear.
You've got to understand both of them, all of them about money. Kamala, Tom, they're all about money. Tom made his money by more or less they tear down corporations. It's eluded me right now for a second. But
Hillary
says,
"Oh God, tell me more, tell me more. You're such an authoritative figure. You know so much. Tell me sweet nothings."
Oh man. Okay.
That was good, Suzette.
I know.
One of
okay.
our pictures on our, it used to be on my YouTube page, but I changed it. It's Hillary Clinton and Don and his wife. They're all smiling and they're facing the camera.
And we have a picture
of Don and Kamala shaking hands on our radio page on Facebook, and we have a picture of Don and Tom Steyer. So he's in bed with all of them.
Yeah, that's
I feel with
Don,
all of them.
And you're not one day richer.
Issues.
No,
you know,
I'm not.
With some women have daddy issues, John has mommy issues.
I would never ask them for anything because they're all of them are crooked. I'm trying to tell you, everybody
That's
has
why he
their
stands next to him. He smiles under the white slave owners, the master man and the woman. He's their bitch. He smiles and goes, "Master, look at me. I got a picture with you. Can you get the picture with me? I'll give you some money." Right? You weren't saying, "Hey, Hillary, you're phony. You're a hypocrite." You weren't. You kissed her ass. You kissed Tom's ass too. Uncle Tom.
He was glad handling her.
Because
he loves the white ass. He loves white ass.
I was telling him what I need. John is butthurt.
Poor Suzette. She must wonder what she really thinks of all of us.
He says that white people lie and we're inferior, right? He's saying this, Mac. If you let it go, and then I call him out, like, he's kissing their ass, which he is. He's standing there with a smile. I want a selfie. I wouldn't be standing there smiling next to Hillary. I'd be going there. I got a finger for you, Hillary.
What would you do, John, if Hillary Clinton walked up to you and shook your hand?
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
By the way, here's Hillary, and when they take the picture, up will go my middle finger, like, okay, got that one. That's the selfie. Thank you, bitch. Thank you, fake.
You know, now, that's not a Christian attitude.
He's not a Christian. He's just like the rest of them.
He gives to the poor.
He's like the rest of them. Don't worry about it. But the bottom line is that because
how many people have a black man living in their van or car or residence in the last year?
How many people? How many people are blasphemers and idolaters worshiping a Jesus who's the wrong color, the wrong hairstyle, and everything else?
You don't even know what color he is. That's another god.
You're praying to a false god. You know you're praying to a false god.
Okay, Don,
don't
go there tonight. You're getting too controversial. John has been an ardent Christian his whole life.
So what?
And
he's been a blasphemer
his whole life. Others. I've seen him give money to many people in the church. He gave a lady in his church, he paid a lawyer in the church so this lady could get divorced because she had a bad husband.
Because she let a guy marry her to get his green card. Okay.
No, they were both Mexican. I'm going to send Suzette the picture of you, Hillary, and your wife, Pat.
But you don't even know what I'm talking to them about. I don't have to raise a finger to talk to them about what they should be doing and how they're messing up. That's what I talk to them about.
Okay, I'm taking a 2-minute break. Tell Suzette, not me.
I don't miss words with anybody, period. I'm the king. I do my thing. I don't have anybody to bow down to or kowtow to. I do not do anything like that. If I'm going to do something, it's because I think it's right. I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. I already told you that I taught Donald Trump everything he knows. That little white dick motherfucker would not know a damn thing if it wasn't for me. So this is no big deal.
So that's kind of why I think we're in the position that we are as a country, is because
everybody has that same attitude like you.
As far as I don't care about anybody else, as long as I think it's right, I'm going to do it.
Everybody lies. We're kind of a composite
of why America is so screwed up.
I'm at a rally today saying down with white patriarchy. What in the world? And these are white women. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea. That's ridiculous.
Somebody had a sign that said that, Don?
Many people had signs that said that. I don't know what you're thinking. You're the one who brought it up. I'm with white women trying to make sure that they have freedom. I'm the one who brought. I worked for the ERA. I've worked all my life to bring equality and justice for women's rights. I did this shit. above, I mean, and I'm a black man, and I didn't have any other black men with me doing this shit all my life. And if white women don't have that
real
kind of
good, real good.
If they don't have that kind of respect for themselves, that's not my problem. Donald Trump is the biggest woman hater that there is. He was the biggest woman oppressor that we probably had in the White House in centuries.
What proof
do you have?
He's had how
that's
many
a
wives,
good
three,
point.
He's had mm-hmm. three wives, four wives. Anybody who has that many wives doesn't respect him. It's a reason for that. And he also
but that's not
had,
true.
How many women did Donald Trump employ versus the other predecessors? Name facts. You never do that.
16 that he was going to rape. That have accused him of rape or sexual.
They didn't work for him.
They did. I mean, he had the doggone Miss Universe pageant.
Somebody's breathing through their feet.
And he had.
John, are you on the bike?
He had people talking to him, telling him not to go into the dressing rooms so that he could oogle these women. I mean,
that's not rape. You throw that word around like it's so casual, and it's not, because it's a serious subject when it comes to women being raped. And you throw it around so casual as though somebody walking into a dressing room is considered rape. That's what you basically saying, because that's what you gave as evidence.
But those aren't the 16 people. These are 16 more people. My God, Suzanne.
My God, yourself. We asked you for evidence. You know, women saying something.
He's got 16 people.
And they only came out when he became president. Why is that?
Then that means where there's smoke, there's fire. If he has one, he should have been indicted.
No, because you can't
believe
everybody.
Okay, you guys, this is the 15-minute warning. We're not doing a super long show tonight. Okay.
John, a cartoon show, because for rape, you would actually bring in evidence. You would actually have the police come in. You wouldn't go on accusations from the New York Times. You would actually look at real pictures from real laptops, like maybe Hunter Biden or maybe Anthony Weiner. You know,
they should be in jail,
wife,
too.
Husband.
Down with white patriarchy.
Evidence.
Down with white patriarchy. That's all I say.
Yeah,
Weiner,
Hunter Biden. How many hundreds of women are on Hunter Biden's laptop?
They should be in jail.
And they're not?
They should be in jail. All those white men should be in jail, period.
Without the white patriarchy, we wouldn't have America.
What about Martin Luther King?
Who needs America? The article was taken out of the Constitution was that black people are three-fifths of a human being. They had to take that out.
And we know why, and it had to do with the Democrat Party.
Right. The Democrats should be in jail. The Democrats back then were the ones who promoted slavery.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones also that took the land from the Indians.
Right, exactly.
They killed him, and then they said, "You're going to live here on this mound of land,"
The Mormons were the number one culprits of killing more Indians than anybody.
They were not. They were the ones that were being killed. Are you kidding? They didn't have
They came out. Go ahead, check it out. They came out west, and when they developed the Mormonism. They killed Indians left and right. Oh, God.
Well, Indians were killing as well. So, I mean, you know, back then we had Indians that were very aggressive. They didn't want a white man on their land. People were traveling.
Right.
And
that's their land.
So it was a bloodbath. That's the way it was back then.
It was their land. You just said it. If somebody comes into your house and kills you for your house, wouldn't you want your husband to fight back? I'm not sure.
Well, that's what back in those days, people were taking territories left and right. You fought for it. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah,
back then.
Where did the Indians get
right,
it from?
Right, and so why doesn't somebody give them reparations?
Instead
of throwing them on a reservation?
How do you think Indians and cartels established land? Who had the – you think all Indians, it's one Indian nation? No, there's like, what, there's dozens, right? Cherokee,
yeah.
Indian, right?
We know.
They all fought for their territories. They took it from other people, right?
Right.
They weren't at peace with them. You couldn't just go, hey, I want the Sioux tribe. I'm going to come over here and hang out here with the Chickasaw. No. It's like you keep the distance. So, and that's the same thing with cartels and gangs. It's ridiculous what you're talking about. Like, oh, we need to find out who originally owned it. Adam and Eve did, okay? Or Babylon, or Persia, or look at the history of Europe.
We know what war is about.
People in Mexico, do they speak Mexican? No, they speak Spanish. Why? Because the Spaniards conquered them, and they took them over. They don't speak their own language
starting 2045, we will start conquering the white man. It's as simple as that. You are absolutely right. Because the white man is losing population, 6.2%. Black
you're going to be
population 5.9%. Hispanics are increasing their population by birth 4.9%. So
you're going to be squeezed out too.
The white man in the next 20 years.
The Mexican gangs are growing. They outnumber you 4-1 on the guns. I hate to tell
you
that.
There
you
go.
There's no place else. You're all in prison. You're in prison.
And the Mexicans.
That's where your gangs are at. So if you're going to start a war on white America, you're outnumbered 6-1 or 8-1.
We don't care.
I have a
about
question
guns.
For Jane.
We don't care about guns. We care about our dicks. Our dicks are much more powerful than guns. That's why they eliminate us.
Then how come you have 16% of the population?
If they're so powerful.
Because we got big dicks.
Well, how come the Mexicans have outgrown you 4-1?
Because
their dicks may not be bigger, but they work much better.
If you had such big Johnsons, then you would be populating. You would be, having babies and populating to outpopulate the whites. They're 16%.
I
don't think so.
Yeah, but that's because there were just a few million that came over on the slave ships, and now
but they're
we're
so powerful,
16%.
You said. But you said
but
they're so powerful.
Yeah, they're lazy. See, it's the Mexicans and my peoples who are out there on the construction sites. And
tell
you to go to any construction site with me in California, go to any Home Depot. You don't find any brothers out there. I'm sorry.
No.
You don't find any Asians.
Because
it's
they don't let us have any
Mexicans
money.
Build
us.
America. They're the workers.
They're killing us.
You go to
they're
any hotel.
They're killing each other.
Guess what?
But
there were three Mexican maids. They weren't black. They were Latinas. We do the work. You want to cater a party? It's Latinas. Trust me.
I have a question for Jane. Jane?
Not back in the
do you feel suppressed as a woman by the patriarch?
She's not there right
Jane.
Now. She's not there right now.
Okay.
John, you've gotten contentious in your old age.
John is way. He doesn't remember.
You're peddling snack. You're peddling
the black
snack.
Man, the
I'm not
going to
take snack.
Built America.
You and Don are at each other's throats every week.
I'm not at his throat. I'm stating facts from
my throat is a female, and it's good. It's good. I'll put it that way.
Say what?
I don't know what he said.
He's bragging about his love life again.
Well, this is a perfect example. I've got 5 kids, and who knows how many more. And how many does John have?
Oh, I have none. I have none. Zero.
There you go. That's
don't criticize him for those life choices.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind.
But
I turned out two boys. I turned out two boys, and they got aborted. And I did not fight.
I'm giving a stark fact of why the population will be changing significantly.
Well, I could have had in the last 10 years. I can tell you, 18 hours ago, I could have put a penis in, and I didn't. I don't want to have any babies.
Oh, my God. I'm hanging up.
And Mormons have lots of children.
He's talking, I can't deliver. I can deliver any time I want to.
And they're one of the only...
Mormons are going to repopulate the country. My son has four kids, and he's 27 years old. I have two kids.
Wait a minute.
And my youngest son.
Your son has four kids?
Just so Don can know. Yes,
I have four grandchildren.
A couple times.
Wow.
Climb up a couple times, and I could have put it in, and I decided, no, I'm not
going to pop it. I'm muting you.
Why?
We're going to get blocked off of social media. Between you and Don.
He's bragging about having a kid he has. What are you talking about? That's sex. That's what he's talking.
Okay, everybody knows you can put it out. It's okay if you don't have kids. I have many friends, especially in L.A., who never had kids. But let's not talk irrational. Oh, shoot, we have a guest caller. We have a guest caller.
He
brought it up.
Yeah, I brought
John,
it up.
John, you're on mute for a minute.
I'm just using it as an example of why.
Okay, who's our guest caller tonight? John and Don are on hold for a minute. Would you like to say something, area code 336?
Is that me?
Okay, I'll bring him. Hello?
Hi.
Suzette, hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, guys. I just have been listening to everything that you're saying, and I can see things from both sides. And I think the gentleman that was speaking earlier, his name was James?
We have John and Don, and we have Suzette. All of them are from the
John
West Coast except for me. So everybody be on their best behavior. Go ahead.
So it makes me so sad to hear how intelligent he is when he's, you know, recalling history and speaking about everything that's going on, and to know what is actually going on in the real news and the indictments that have just happened, and to see the division that's going on under this administration. This is coming from somebody that has always been on the left until 2014,
yeah, that was
15.
John. You were referring to John because he brought up a recent indictment that was just brought up. That was John, not Don.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
what is your feeling about what's going on? And we were mainly talking about politics earlier. Now they were discussing family and reproduction. And the conversation was getting a little tacky, for that matter, because Don was chiding.
Well, I mean, that's okay. It always tends to go tacky at some point, you know,
yeah,
when everybody...
usually after 60 minutes. But
Suzette,
I would like to hear more about your grandkids.
But I do see where everybody is coming from with it, but it sounds desperate. You know, when we start getting into the reproduction and how... And we don't want to get to that part, because I think that what we see going on in the world right now, and maybe I'm alone in this, but this is from somebody who, I mean, I got more conservative after I had children, but I always came from, in the beginning, a more leftist side. But I have never seen more support for the African-American community and minorities coming from white people. I mean, what is being reflected in the news is totally not what is actually happening in the real world.
You're absolutely right. By the way, I used to live in North Carolina.
Strong, and it is so much stronger than what's coming across in the news. There is an eye contact that happens, even if you're at a McDonald's, if you're just moving around in the world. What they are showing on the television and on the news channels, that is not happening in real life. the real life happenings between people, us as human beings, we see what's happening. It's been a real big disappointment because half of us, everybody that just thinks that because you didn't want to go Democrat or you didn't vote that way thinks, oh, they're just Trump people. That isn't true. What happened in 2016 is nobody really wanted Trump, and nobody even really believed it was going to happen. But definitely nobody wanted Hillary. And
I agree with you in the first. A lot of professional women did want Hillary, and I'm from Minnesota.
That's only because they're still asleep. The people that are being called woke is like the worst description that's ever been given. Everything is opposite. Everything that they're saying is woke is totally asleep. I can't even believe that everybody's still going with this.
Does woke mean like,
woke.
Is that an acronym? Anyways, John and Don, you're on the air. I didn't mute you. I unmuted you.
What was the caller's name?
I'm Jenny.
Go ahead and say your name.
Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. I used to live in Durham, North Carolina. I noticed that you're calling from somewhere in that state. I went to North Carolina Central. I just wanted to say thank you for the call and thank you for redirecting our show. I think we needed some redirection. I do know I was living up here in 2016. I relocated from Los Angeles. Minnesota's the bluest state in the country, but I know a lot of people who wanted Hillary. Now, yes, they're probably blinded. That's probably true. But they still wanted her. And,
no, guys, that's not even the point. What he was talking about earlier with this indictment that just came down, our news channels, our social media, they will not even report exactly what the facts are, which is that Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Michael Sussman, was just indicted last week under Merrick Garland, who is the appointed DOJ under Biden for the whole Russiagate thing. Everything that was Russia, Russia, Russia was actually true. And this is me still not even being a supporter in saying this of Trump. But it's like you cannot be an idiot watching the news for 4 years and seeing the Russia, Russia, Russia thing and then see where these are facts that just happened last week under the appointed people under Biden that tell you this was all exactly what they said it was. It was bullshit. And we aren't able to see it. It's completely censored everywhere. There's a problem in America when this is happening.
Thank
obviously,
you, Jenny.
Donald Trump was a problematic president, but no more problematic than every other fucking president has been. Excuse my language, but that's the truth.
Thank you, Jenny. You have
I do feel like Trump didn't have
You have backed up everything I said, Jenny. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I do want to say, though,
Trump
did not
start a conversation.
He was self-motivated, and he didn't have a command of the Constitution.
Who?
Donald Trump. He was more problematic.
I don't even think he thought
his attitude was messed up. He was there to glorify himself.
Donald Trump
you know what? I can say what I want. I'm going in the bathtub, Suzette. You're in control.
You're right. Trump doesn't even know how
his
to stop.
His pride was the predecessor to his fall, but his voice still did matter. And people are fed up with these assholes who are in politics right now, and we're fed up with the right side, and we're fed up with the left side. And we're fed up with corporate people trying to run America and in the meantime ruining our lives. They're all in bed together.
Thank you.
Lobbyists that were caught up with Hillary or Trump, they were all doing business together. That's just the way that it is. And
thank
we
you,
all have got to get serious and come together. This is not white. This is not black. This isn't about, listen, we've come too far to just get this far. All of us are human beings, and it's time for us to come together now and put people in office. Damn it, they better earn our votes. Stop taking our money and putting it towards corporate America and all of the taxes going to that. We've all been asleep for too long. And
well, I think it goes deeper than just politicians.
Going out to everybody, they're trying to divide us. And I'm telling you, the rest of America really isn't feeling the way that they're portraying this on the news. I feel the love when I'm out. And I know what the – we have a horrible history. But it's no more horrible of a history than any other fucking country that's been in on this globe that we all share.
I'm
going
to vote for Jenny. Jenny, you have my vote. Okay? Like what we need – I don't – okay, we need a unpurchased and bought or owned person, male or female, and you got my vote.
But this
the
goes way deeper than just the voting for politicians, though, Jenny. It goes far deeper than just the politicians. It goes to the unappointed bureaucracies, the unappointed intelligence agencies.
Stuff, and it's generational. These people are generational.
Right, yes. I mean, unelected officials in the CIA and the NSA and the FBI, all of those agencies are corrupt and they need to go along with having politicians.
But it's not just America. It is all over. And we got to start knowing what's going on in our county, in our city, in our state, what's happening in the next state. What's
and I agree, and that's
America?
Where it's got to start.
Are we all going to stand together and be for America? Are we going to be Americans? I know that it's been horrible and our history has been horrible, but you're in one of the best countries that there is right now. And if there were going to be reparations for anyone, I would totally, totally support that it would be for the Native Americans and for African Americans whose ancestors built this country. In the meantime, the rest of us have to go a little more right, and let's get a little bit more conservative after we fix that. Everybody's got to admit that that has been a huge problem, a huge divider, and let's freaking make it right. After that, we come together. Too many people have fought for what America stands for us to just give up now and go, it's the white people against the black people. It is not. That is not true.
Right.
Amen.
It's not true, and it's not where we should be. We are Americans. We are free as of right now, and it may not be like that for very long. So it's time for everybody to, when you want to say woke, I'm saying let's wake the hell up, because it's not very far out of the picture where we can wind up like other countries.
Amen.
And we have to come
Amen.
Together.
That's what I've been
all of this has been in
them.
The works for a long time. And as far as the divide between people, unless we can get a hold of the propaganda, because the propaganda is what people
we
are
can't,
listening
guys.
To.
We can't. They're
and
still pushing
until,
it. Even when the
oh,
facts
absolutely.
Are
it's
out,
been,
they're still pushing Russia, Russia, Russia. We know it was all a line of fucking bullshit.
Well, it began
but
in 1943 with Edward Bernays.
They're counting on us. They're counting
and they've
on
been,
us. They think we're so cheap, like we're their hoes. Let us give you these stimulus checks. Let us give you this. Half, like 11 million people aren't even getting the stuff that they're supposed to get. While they sit back and wag their fingers at us, while they've all gotten richer, Democrats and Republicans.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that this goes far
this
back to where you have to unprogram people.
And they have all gotten richer. They're filling us with a bunch of crap.
By getting
and we have
the
got
white
to wake up, and we have got to come together, and we have to elect people at our local levels. We have got to have respect for one another.
By getting rid of the white people.
Definitely have to wake up and see, like, you know, the critical race theory and everybody that's freaking out about this stuff in school. Just, like, stop freaking out. It's
why?
History. It is how it was. It was.
That's
totally
not what they're talking about. And with critical race theory.
I know, but
what they're talking
to
about.
Get us on anything to get us against each other, and we're beyond that. We're so much more woke than what they say woke is. It isn't about just Black Lives Matter. We know that. It's time to do something about what we need to do. Everybody knows it. All you got to do is ride from the north side of town to the east side of town. Everybody knows it's in our faces all the time. Let's make it right however we can. It's never going to be perfect, but let's just do whatever we have to do. Let's figure out where we want our tax money to go. How are we going to
Well, we
do
certainly
this?
Don't
whoever's,
want it going to the Taliban.
Whoever's running, are we going to be able to maybe one day we can all have not just our vote count a few times a year or, you know,
how about
a
where
few
our tax
times
money
every
goes.
4 years. Maybe we can actually put on our vote. Hey, I want 20% of my tax money to go to this, and I want 1% of my tax money to go to this, and I want the other 60% to go to this. And let's really make a democracy out of it, even though we are a republic. And everybody choose where you want your tax money to go to. Then we'll see where everybody's issues, what they care about.
It's
is it
too late
be with
for
our
that.
Military? It is too
it's
late.
It's too
You're
late
right.
for that because we've already been
know,
sold
really
out to the
sad
UN.
About it. I'm really sad about it because I have young children. I'm sorry,
I have grandchildren.
I didn't know I would get this emotional about it, but I really,
no, it
I really am
it,
sad about it because it doesn't feel like. And maybe I was wrong the whole time because when I look back into the history and I see all this shit that's been going on since the early 90s when I was able to even first start voting, this is the tale as old as time, right? It is biblical.
And that's what we've been saying. But see, Suzette, you are a grandmother. Your tax money, you're spending, you know how the inequity of taxes goes is inheritance tax. Estate tax. It was here, it was eliminated for a little while, and it's back. The rich give their kids their money without working for it. And the next thing you know, the kids have the money, they can compound it, give it to their kids, give it to their kids. That's how all these rich people stay rich and then maintain their wealth.
It's called generational wealth.
Generationally, correct. And if you aren't putting your money into the tax scheme for your kids, then that money goes, you know, probate taxes, take everything. So you're in trouble. People are in trouble when they don't have kids or people that they can give it to that, you know, after they die. And
well, I can will it to them, but I'm too old to have kids, so.
with the wealthy through taxes. And that's inheritance tax, and that's the main reason for the continuation of wealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, I mean, there are also not just white people that are wealthy. That's what you make it sound like. There are also different.
But they're the ones who take advantage of the tax, those taxes.
Oh, no, they all do. They all have accountants and lawyers, and that's what it's for. That's what they're for, to protect their finances, their assets. That's what they're hired for, and that's what they do.
Well,
it's not like other cultures don't have any type of lawyers to protect their money if they're rich.
People of color are nouveau riche. People of color are nouveau riche. Of course,
no, so they don't pass their money on to their next generation.
They are starting to learn. This is what Jenny said. The Jenny was the caller was Jenny was just
talk truth.
Jenny was just saying.
Don't talk to vision. The pharaohs, remember, they taxed the people.
Yeah, fuck the pharaohs.
The Persians,
Jenny
the
was
Babylon,
right
Africans, African
right princes
and kings. Took advantage of slaves.
We're talking
every
about
culture,
no,
every
took
culture
advantage
of
slaves.
Power,
and,
people
and,
of power.
And do you know how many? Do you know the reason that the cultures were destroyed was because those slaves started taking over. The slaves started taking over, and that's why
again,
the demise of
issue. The history of the world. The history of the
Jenny
right
was
now,
talking about a not being a black and a white thing. It's an American thing. And the American
who
people
are. Who did she say reparations were deserved?
I'm not talking about reparations. I'm talking about what she said about coming together as Americans, setting aside reparations, setting aside the Native Indians, as far as uniting as Americans. I'm not saying forget about it. I'm just saying for conversation's sake for right now, set it aside.
She said that blacks built the country. The Natives and blacks built. She said it.
I know she said it, but I'm just saying that we need to come together and be in agreement about things. And as far as the black-white thing goes, I'm not saying no reparations. I'm not saying no give the Indians whatever they deserve as well. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the context of the conversation at this moment, let's say, okay, we did those things, all right, that you talked about. All right, so that's done. Now we're on the second phase of getting the country back on track. And she said about uniting, not making it a black, a white, a left, a right, but an American thing about taking the country back from the corporations. Is that right? Is that what you were saying, Jenny? I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Was she still with us?
I don't know. I don't have the switchboard.
She might have said her piece and left. But the bottom line is that she said her piece, and she was very erudite about it. You know, there is a before and an after, Suzette. There is not.
I know that.
But this is the conclusion of what she said. There is a part that she said that we need to go through a growth period, coming together period. And that included things like reparations, things like corporations doing the right thing and paying their way. You know, that's what she's saying.
Then you aren't listening because she said, first we need to deal with reparations and we need to deal with what's owed to the Native Americans. And then after that, then we can move forward as a country and deal with the corporations and so forth.
Don't forget the African-American.
I just said that. The reparations, as far as reparations go to African-Americans and whatever is owed to reparations or land or whatever it is to the Indians, that's what I'm saying. Those two things first is what she said.
Right.
And then moving forward. So you're saying, no, we need to deal with African-Americans.
No,
I said, I know that.
That's part of the growth. That's part of
the first part of it. I agree. We're in agreement there, but you aren't listening to me. Otherwise, you wouldn't ask me to think about the African-Americans first because I said African-Americans first because African-Americans are always first because African-Americans is all you think about. And African-Americans built this country. African-Americans have big dicks. And African-Americans, blah, 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 African-Americans, African-Americans.
Blah,
I hear
blah,
it.
Blah.
I hear you.
But
I hear you.
But when she first
and it's so tiring because it's all I hear from you. So can we continue
Because
African Americans. John, you have anything to say?
Whoa, somebody doesn't like African Americans. But anyway.
Oh, you're right. I don't. I don't like my mother-in-law. You know, I hate them all. I hate you all.
Hey,
you all just suck.
Not,
okay?
Mother,
you're big dicks. No. Everything else about you. I hate the fact that you built this country. How about that?
Okay. Now we know. That's a good thing. That's about. The bottom line is that that's what I'm talking about truth and transparency, is that these people, what we've started on this whole conversation before when we started, is about the contentiousness of lies, what lies have done to our country. And when people can't be truthful, they're not truthful with themselves, they're not truthful with each other, you know, and that's what we need to have is truth.
And what is the truth?
Well, then please just be truthful and say that you hate white people. I mean, you keep telling us you don't, but everything you say says you do.
I've got a white baby. My friends are mostly all white. I don't get it, but I don't hate white people. White people, they are my leaders. I just wish they would lead correctly. I wish that they would understand that the Constitution, the first article in the Constitution before it was taken out was that blacks were 3/5 of a human being. Yeah, I mean, if they can understand that, then they'll understand the feelings that are all around them, that there's a healing that has to be done, and you can't heal when you don't give people their rights.
You're dancing,
right to live wherever you want.
You want your cane and your top hat? Let me give you your cane and your top hat because you're dancing now. Because earlier you wanted to get rid of the patriarch, the whole male patriarch.
Yeah.
But now you're saying that you like white people, so why get rid of all the patriarch if there are only some patriarch leaders that are no good? Does that mean all leaders are? Because if you want to take out the patriarch, that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that the white women that I was with today for Roe versus Wade were saying, they had signs saying, get rid of the white patriarchy. I'm not saying I said it, even though I believe it.
That's
because we need
energy.
To be on, we need to be on equal ground.
That's white male energy. So in other words, you're going to remove 60% or 70% of the male energy, and probably more because we're talking about education, we're talking about inventions, we're talking about the drive to succeed, not people that are in prison. So you're going to remove that. You're going to replace it with female energy and 16% of the workforce, male. You're totally... The problem is, the truth is, we're God's children. We're all important. We all have a part of the plan, and you're not moving forward. You're going back to, what was it, 200 years ago, 150 years ago? We're talking right now, today. You're not four-fifths of a human.
White men are killing themselves, committing suicide at the highest rate that they've ever committed. The white man is killing himself. That's why they call it cancel culture. His suicide rate is through the roof. The veterans are not being taken care of. They're dying left and right. There is no respect by our government for those people who helped guide America. So
and they have no respect for the black community who are killing themselves every weekend by, you know, by
because,
60s, 50s. I don't think there's been a number under 50.
Because they can't get out of their community because they can't buy property outside of their communities. They won't sell to them. That's called redlining. Blacks do not.
So we're
going to
shoot each other? That's why gangs, you know, come together and they shoot each other?
Black people need to eat too.
But that's that you don't have average family going around with a gun shooting people and taking their food. They're gangs that are killing people, that are killing innocent children, that are just out there on their big wheels or whatever.
They're taking.
They have no regard for life. They have no regard for life.
That's because they were taught that there was no regard for life. When you're taken from your, when the husbands are taken from their wives.
Wait. What school are they being taught? By the way, kids, when you come in, you're black, and we have no regard for your life. That's baloney.
That's exactly what it is.
I've been in the school 40, 50 years, and we were taught to respect every race and color. And in church, we sang, you know, Jesus loves the children of the world. I'm sure you know the words, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. We sang that. No one ever said discriminate against the black guy.
Nobody ever said that.
And these black communities have educational boards that are mostly black, if not all black. Black mayors, black city school councils,
Christian.
Black principals, black governors.
And they get castigated. They're Christian and they get castigated.
For what?
Because
they have full control of their state or city to do what they want with it. To educate your children, to bring businesses.
Show me the video. of the white man trampling the black man. Show me today's headline. There's a white politician going, black people are evil. We hate them. And no, you don't.
And not only that, but you could say there are a lot of professionals.
Yeah.
Whether they're in the medicine industry, whether they are in science, whether they are, you know, working for NASA, whether they're pro sports. I'm just saying, all of these professions, whether they're in sports or medicine or science or whatever, you can't tell me. If I said, well, there's this one lady that she was born black and poor and she got out, that would be anecdotal. That would be one incident. You could say, well, that's one. There's a lot more than just one. But there are a lot more than black professionals that are out there. And you can't tell me that they weren't given anything. They had to work for it, and they saw their dream, they went for it, and they made it happen.
They're just getting Didn't you hear the lady say that they're just coming out? We're just
coming out of what?
We're just recognizing the love that.
All the
there's
press,
been professionals in the black community for a long time, for years, for decades,
it,
not just recently
not,
waking
they've
up.
They've been denigrated. They've been denigrated.
No.
Until recently.
How so?
That's a media.
They have families, nice houses. They have money. They have generational wealth. Doctors that pass their wealth on to their children.
The press.
It's not anecdotal. That would be one or two incidences would mean anecdotal. Look it up.
Jackie Robinson's family didn't have that opportunity until he was able to break the color barrier.
Well, there
Jackie
were a lot
Robinson.
Of people in baseball that didn't get paid their due as far as
tell
people took advantage
it.
Of them. So that's not a black-white thing. It was an exploitation of baseball players or pro athletes.
They celebrate Jackie Robinson night every year. Then all the players have to wear number 42. So you don't see Babe Ruth night. You don't see Warren Spahn night. You don't see White Man night. And again, all your commercials, all your news media, you got to have a black anchor. You have to have a black, newscaster. You have a sportscaster. You have to have every commercial, right? You'll see it where there's the black girl with the white boyfriend, or the white girl with the black boyfriend. It has to be color balanced. It's like 50% of the commercials, it's black people in it, even though they're only 16% of the population. We have to make sure we have a black kid in the picture.
The NBA is dominated by black males, and they make a lot of money, and they came from colleges, so they're educated. So that's not anecdotal when you have sports. Dominated sports like that, because that's not a one or two thing, and they make millions of dollars, more than white people did, more than Larry Bird did, and he was actually a really good player at the time. Him and Magic were really very good.
You're
it's not a misnomer.
They're lying.
It's not a misnomer.
These black people coming out of the colleges are not smart.
I didn't say
they're
smart.
Not,
I said they were educated.
They're not educated.
Difference.
They're not educated. They're giving their slide. They're letting them slide because they make more money. The richest person, the highest salaried person in almost any state is the college football coach.
All right. And? So you're given the opportunity to go to college and play ball for them. And now, if you had not played ball well, whatever ball it is, whether it's football or basketball or whatever they're bringing you in the college for to help their team win, okay, so you have that opportunity. Now it's up to that individual that they've been given the opportunity. It's up to that individual to exercise every advantage that possible to take advantage of that education that they've been given that opportunity for. Yes, play ball, but you know what? I'm not going to play ball forever, and I may want to do something else besides play ball. I'm going to use this time and this opportunity to learn something. So if they chose not to, that's nobody's fault but those people.
You can't learn that in 4 years, Suzette. If they've always taken things from you and you grew up in a ghetto with no food.
No. That's where we talk about individual responsibility and accountability. They're accountable for wanting to learn or not.
Give yourself more credit.
You can't learn if you don't have a brain.
They have tutors.
10 generations
tutors.
Later, you
study
can't
sessions.
Figure it out. You're so smart and you're so sophisticated. You can pick this up in a second. Kids learn basketball and how to be pros in a generation. You can learn, your race can master mathematics, can master the skills, music, whatever, in a generation or two generations. You've been around for seven or eight different generations. If you're that smart, you would have picked it up already. But the point is, we're getting shoved down our throat every minute how racist we are. And you know what? The problem is when I say show a video, show where we promote anti-black culture, anti-black opportunity in any politician, any commercial, any business. Just bring it out there, Don. It's not there because it's being shoved in our face every second. How racist we are, how we need to feel bad about ourselves. We can't even help, but like don't even touch the subject. We can't say the N-word. We can't say anything derogatory. We can't put anyone down. We'll get fired. We'll get labeled. We'll get smeared. We'll get muted or censored on Facebook. So,
correct.
Again, so where is this prejudice coming from? We don't even have the ability. We can't even have the capability to. Because it's not,
and if something's tried to be good as far as an opportunity, then it's shoved back in our face that we're doing it because we're racist. Oh, you just want me to play for you so your team can win. It's like, well, yeah, but then you're also in a college so you can learn something and be successful.
God, this is white people telling you all of this shit, too.
Well, then he doesn't have to accept that and take the opportunity. He could say, no, thanks, I don't want to play for you because you're just going to use me. But they don't. They do it. They take those opportunities, and that's why we have NBA pro basketball players that make tens of millions of dollars because they took the opportunity.
But probably 10% of those who are going to college to play basketball, football, whatever, are going there to get three meals and a cot.
You said probably, so you don't know. You can't say with definitive fact
exactly
or definitive certainty that that's true because you said probably.
That's their choice.
Yeah, because they're living out of their garages.
You to be
and they are eating, they're eating dog food. They're living in garages eating dog food.
No,
that's why they go to college.
No,
they're
getting
townhouses.
They're getting sports cars. They're getting special discs. They're getting
because the white man gives it to them because they have a work. They're playing
it's
basketball
free.
Or football. They have a work.
The point
you know,
is,
right.
It's their choice if they want to pursue higher education or if they want to milk it and get their answers provided for on their college
because
exams.
Because they get three hot and a cot. A lot of them are because they get out of the situations that they're in, which will promote taking guns and killing people. And that's the side that you're saying that black people, you don't respect it.
They're not getting anything for free, though. The three
no,
hots and a cot are not
it.
Free because they're working on the courts or on the fields out there playing football or playing basketball. You go to work, you do your job, you come back, you get fed, and you get housed. And then you go pro if you're good enough. If you're not good enough, well, then you should have gotten your education while you had it during those 4 years so you could do something else. Most people don't have that opportunity because they don't have the talent required to get that opportunity that people
well, not everybody's, not everybody's a basketball and football player. A lot of people go into the military able to get the drugs from Afghanistan, which is why we were there, because nobody in America
you're
buys.
You're changing the subject now. You're changing the subject.
It's the same
you're changing
thing.
The subject to make it seem like the blacks are victims. But we're talking about the opportunities
not,
that are wasted when they're given, and then they're turned around being racist.
I'm talking about the military. I'm talking about how people in the military make their money by importing human trafficking, by importing poppies, by importing cocaine, from Colombia.
What are you talking about, though? You're changing the subject because you don't have anything to stand on about the proof what I just said. We got to change topics to go to Afghanistan.
There is nothing.
Go,
there
John.
Is nothing to say. There is nothing to say. There are black people who are taking advantage of the education, the opportunity.
Let me ask you a simple question, Don. Don, let me ask you a simple question. Did a white man walk up to you and hand you some alcohol and say, "Don, drive your vehicle, hit a tree, and kill your dog"? Did a white man force you to do that? And you live from privilege, and your family is very well connected. So again, what white person told you to do that?
No.
That way you have to wear your ankle bond. Yes, take responsibility. Stop blaming white people for your inefficiencies, for your inadequacies. And everyone has their sin. Everyone has their sin. But see, you're going to blame the white man to drove me to that. No, you've had a white privilege. You've lived a white life. And then you screw up, right? And then you're still blaming the white man. No. You need to take responsibility. This is your intervention. Because you blame the white person every week. Take responsibility and fess up. You fucked up. Once you learn that and become a man, that's what a man is. A man faces responsibility. Then you grow.
God.
Then you get forward.
You're not learning.
You're going back and blaming white people for your problems.
I don't always believe that the laws are just. So I am going against some of the laws.
You get to drink and drive, but the white people don't.
because you're special. You have privilege.
White people are dying all the time drinking and driving. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, they're drinking fentanyl. They don't even drink, right? They take the drugs and they kill themselves.
And those are doctor prescribed, not by so much by black doctors. They're not killing their own people that way.
And I have to agree with Don when he says that there are laws that are unjust. And it's not, for me anyway, it's not a matter of white and black. I'm just saying there are unjust laws that people, categories of people get caught up in because they're unjust. And, you know, there are good laws on the books, but there are plenty of them that are unjust categories of people. And that's just bad law. They should have never been able to pass.
That being said, if you live a righteous life and you do what's good, I guarantee you, you're going to have a much better outcome. And I can tell you, the people lying in prison, they're not people going to Bible study. They're not doing good things. They're not praying. They're not leading a righteous life. They live they compromise themselves, and then they go with people of bad behavior. And then and they open their mind to the spirits of drugs and alcohol and of lust and of Luciferianism. And then they take a deep dive, like a Lindsay Lohan, or it doesn't matter who, black or white. You go down that path, it's evil. And the point is, you need to repent, turn around, change your life, take responsibility, and you grow. And if you don't do that, you'll always be a victim. Always. You're quoting straight out of the victim book. You go to any therapist, they will tell you, you do not blame other people for your behavior or your past. You take responsibility right now. You accept your life.
You need to look in the mirror.
Everyone has a bad lot somewhere. I have a friend who medicates all the time. Her mother died. Her father bled in her arms. I said, everyone's friends died. We all die. That's a tragedy.
You're a blasphemer, John. You're an idolater. If you don't pray to the black Jesus, you're an idolater. It's simple as that.
I prayed to Yeshua. Jesus, as you know, the J was added in the 17th century because Sweden, or Swedish descent.
It doesn't matter because in the 14th century was when they painted this white.
We're going back to this conversation that Jane didn't want to have again as far as the whole black Jesus.
Yeah, Jane didn't.
You go to
but
the material physicality.
Read
you don't
the Bible and
you'll
see what the real Jesus looked like.
God is a spirit. You don't pray to skin color.
Read
Okay, let's change the subject.
Read Revelations. His hair was of wool also.
Yeah, the resurrected. You don't understand that God is a light, that there's no sun. You've read that. He's a ray beam. And I've talked to people who've died and gone and entered and came back. It's a bright light. It's from God's face. As when we remember Moses, when he looked at the backside of God, he said, you can't even look at me, you'll die, right? You will die.
Correct.
So that Jesus that you saw was not God as far as in full vision. It was in a vision. It wasn't in real life because he would have died seeing Jesus, seeing the light of his face. It would have killed him. And what happened with Moses? They had to put a bag over his head because his face shone so much different.
Paul did say he saw his fiery red eyes.
Well, give me the verse of scripture.
His hair of wool and
a vision.
Red eyes.
A vision. John, the revelator in Patmos. It was a vision. He also saw the beast.
Then the vision is in the Bible, and there is no long, stringy-haired, goofball, light-skinned God or Jesus. That's all. That was not prescribed in the Bible. There is no image.
You can't see white people walking around in the desert, in the wilderness.
Well, people who are from the Mesopotamian, Euphrates area, they're not exactly long-haired.
I don't know what he looked like. The Bible doesn't tell us.
You're a blasphemer, John. Admit it.
That Jesus that comes back has a sword coming out of his mouth that destroys everyone. Did Jesus walk around with a sword coming out of his mouth? No. Did he come out with angels and behind him in judgment? No. This is a resurrected, glorified Jesus, or Yeshua, that's going to be coming back that he saw in the vision. So you've got to clarify. Remember, Mary wanted to touch him. He said, do not touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet.
Correct.
This is a different Jesus than the one that they saw. Remember, they didn't even recognize him the first time, and them see who he was.
Why depict him at all?
Well, he has to have some kind of...
might as well be the correct depiction.
He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. That is the Jesus that appeared, not the one coming in glorified in judgment on the white horse sitting on the right hand of the Father. The Jesus that came before that was a very unattractive man who was not a beautiful person. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. And when
are you an idolater praying to the Jesus that's on some picture?
I don't pray to those. I don't pray to images. I don't go to the Catholic Church. I don't look at statues and murals. I pray to a spirit. Our Father, he taught us how to pray. You know the Lord's Prayer. And to do these things in his name, right? That's all. Yeah, I just pray for your repentance. I pray that you really get circumspect and just don't listen to me. Listen to Scripture. Because you're an intelligent, brilliant man, and I don't know who's taught you this
I only have, just like Jane would throw out her credentials, I was 3 credits away from a theology and philosophy separately, and I know that all of this crap, the main thing is that these people are wasting their time. You're wasting your time because many instances that have been written, he cannot be understood. So why spend all this time talking about something that really cannot be understood?
If your children showed up to work or to be with me, I wouldn't sit there and go, oh, they're black. I would sit there and go, hey, can you do the job? And you know what? If Asian midgets could play basketball better than black African Americans, you would see Asian midgets. It's job performance, and you know that. Whatever how come there aren't more black baseball players? That's a skill set that they're not as strong. Remember when he played baseball, how he sucked? He thought he could just turn it on because he's Air Jordan. He's the greatest eye-to-hand coordinated man that I've known in my life. And
He was getting better.
He was a sub-average baseball player. He had a terrible swing. He used to swing down, and he never didn't have that nice sweep that could hit the home run. Now, Bo Jackson can play football, basketball, anything he wants. Baseball, football, but basketball. Yeah, he could play it, but he couldn't excel in it. He couldn't jam. He wasn't 6'6". He was a tank like LeBron, but LeBron's 6'8", and Bo's over 6'1", 6-something, 6'2", maybe. Couldn't dominate. But the point I'm saying is that it's performance that determines. It doesn't matter what you may have a harder time getting in, but they've skewed things. It's who is it hard for? Is Asian kids, because they're so smart, their IQ levels test so much better than everyone else's. They're discriminated. You've seen the lawsuits. It's like they should give these all the scholarships, and they don't. They have to give some to the black kids or the Mexican kids. Discrimination. Why don't they
the NBA,
why don't they say, hey, we have too many blacks, we need more small Mexicans and Asians? They don't do that. They do that in academia.
Do you know that in college, the SAT to get into college, listen, when the SAT is to get into college, for a black person to get in, they give them automatically a 300 points on their SATs before even writing their name on the test when they go in to take it, ahead of everybody else. Is that helping them or is that hurting them?
Why is that?
Because they're not properly educated in the public health or public education system
there you go.
K through 12. So that's not helping them. So that's not helping.
There, you hit the nail right on the head. The public school system is antiquated, and do you realize, Suzette, that blacks
the people advocated
killed.
For that.
Blacks were killed before 1954. They were killed for learning to read and write.
But they're not killed today for learning to read, so there's no excuse. But I'm just saying there were people that advocated for that, and it's not a good thing. There are people who advocated if you're going to be a fire person, fireman, for that score to be lowered in order for black people to be able to qualify to become a fireman. That doesn't help people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Today, we're talking today. There are no obstacles except for the person themselves.
My ancestors were professors.
Right.
They ran the possibility of getting killed. But they went ahead and got educated and educated others anyway.
Radical Republicans had educated blacks as well, and they were killed as well, educating blacks.
Yes,
you have a problem
true.
There, though, John, is that your intelligence is genetic. You can't teach intelligence. You can teach right answers.
That's
you can
what
tell
I just
kids,
said.
You can solve the answer on the test. You can't teach the quickness of thought. You can't teach fast. They used to tell in sports, right? I can't be a sprinter in a 100-yard dash. I don't have the genetics. I can't be a pro basketball player if I can't touch the rim. I don't have enough muscle twitch speed to play certain sports. I can play guitar. I can play it damn well. But here's the point, because I have the genetics for that, right? So the problem is, you're saying they need advantages because they're not taught well. Here's the problem. You can teach them all you want. They're not going to do well in those SATs, especially in a unrehearsed situation where you have to use your intuition and your quickness of thought. Now, listen, because this is comedy, right? Some people can do comedy because they're quick on their feet. I'm good with comedy, but I'm not brilliant. I couldn't be a lawyer because you'll give me a point, and I have to think about it. And 2 hours later or when I come back the next day, I've got a perfect answer. But there's people that can lie and be sharks on the spot, and they can assassinate.
But
and that's
the,
what lawyers
the,
do.
The,
I'm
the
good lawyer.
The,
you can't
the,
teach
the,
that.
The SAT.
It's
but
genetics.
See, the point is what Suzette just said. There are black people who are smarter than anything. But the bottom line is that growing up, they haven't had the experience to know what a yacht is, to know what a slip knot is. You do not teach a slip knot in the ghetto, in the hood. You don't know what a yacht is. You don't know those things because you are not taught.
Certain things parents need to teach too. Parents need to take responsibility and educate their kids.
But black people need to get out of their situations in order to learn these things. Blacks are not allowed without the police on their back.
Oh yeah, white people show up at their house and take away their books and won't let them study.
No, the police show up, John. The police show up in front of the library and they're like, "No, you can't come in and learn anything.
Well, not
you can't come in and use the computers."
School is about ready to marry
right,
a black male.
Well, a computer is used for something other than teaching a person what a yacht is.
The police show
up books.
When a black couple is going to get married.
You can only learn so much from a book, Suzanne.
The police will not allow black people to get married. The police will not allow black people to stay married. They come into their house and they say, by the way, you
if
have to
marry
take
a white,
and cheat
marry
on
a white,
your wife. You don't have a choice. And your children,
they
can't
stay. If they marry a white, they will get harassed, incarcerated, and or killed.
I've grown up with many of
black
persons who
they were not able to marry white people
and did well, or take a Candace Owens or take a Barack Obama.
We're talking about generational inadequacy, Don.
It's a personal choice.
They don't exist today as far as there are opportunities to change that.
I'm saying
we're
coming.
You're thinking ghetto. You're thinking victim.
But that's been for a while now.
We're coming.
Okay.
All righty. It takes us time.
We'll leave it at that then. A lot of people are coming.
And that's why the white man is scared to death and is buying more guns and gating more property and making sure that there is nobody who's going to be challenging his superiority than right now. All the laws
are
being...
people are buying guns too, legitimately. You know, normal, regular family man.
This is the first time in history that the black man is able to buy guns legally.
No.
We have not.
It's been a while now. It's been decades.
It's been decades about everything.
In 1975, 45 years ago, I worked at my first job. I worked at HOTC, which stands for Hot Systems, HOTC Pacific, and they sold pressure washers, the thing like steam cleaner kind of stuff. And we had a brother man. I think his name was Armstrong was the last name. But anyway, he was a brother. And we used to say, I know, he'd make this joke. Someone would say, I know, I have a black belt. I know martial arts. And he says, I know, shoot 'em and stick 'em. That's what I know. His brother man. Oh, from Oakland in the mid-70s. So that was 20, that was 45 years. That was over a generation and a quarter ago. That's always been the hood. And when we used to go to Oaktown, we were told this was the rule. You don't go there after 10 o'clock. Because if you're a white guy in a car going into the ghetto through Oakland, and the joke used to be there was an earthquake in Oakland today. It caused $4 million of improvements instead of damages. And the joke, one of the guys from HOTC, white guy, Bob, he went over to Oaktown after 10 o'clock and was at an intersection in downtown. And guess what happened? The brothers from the hood came out and started shaking his car and pushing it and telling him, get out of here, you honky white boy, because we'll F you up. So that's the hood. That's always been around. You always have had guns. And you just look at any the black exploitation movies, Pam Grier. Come on, Shaft. Don't play dumb with
even
us.
Even before that, during the Harper days in the 1930s, when you had white gangsters and prohibition, there were also black gangs as well that had prohibition as far as alcohol, honky-tonks, or whatever they call them, bars, just like the whites did, but they also had guns back then. They're Tommy guns. They've been able to get guns just like white people. So as far as, and that's after post-slavery.
A Tommy gun is a converted gun.
But they had guns.
It's not a gun that comes off the.
And white people didn't obtain them legally too, because they also had the Tommy gun. So I mean, legal, illegal, goes both ways on both sides. As far as legally, still for decades they've been able to acquire and purchase guns, and that to protect their families, and they're fighting for it now. I mean, there are a lot of they don't surface as far as show, but there are more and more conservative blacks that, are purchasing guns legally to protect their families or conservative adults. And, that it's basically for protection. That's all. So it's not a matter of the blacks are coming and they're going to take over, because there are blacks and Asians and whoever else that are here, melting pot-wise, that fear a civil war. And so they're purchasing firearms to protect their families. It's not a matter of they're fearing the black person. They're fearing a civil war.
Yeah, but the Civil War is the fear of the black person. That's what.
No.
That's what I'm.
The Civil War is a left-right thing, which is stupid.
The Civil War is the fact that black people are going to take their white women and their.
That's what you think, but it's a matter of ideology. The Civil War is going to be over ideology and not a matter of blacks taking white women. Give me a break.
The Civil War is going to be between police and the right.
Don, You missed the
revolution. You just said it was about the black people taking white women.
You missed the revolution,
but the
Don.
Right,
1968. Remember Mexico City, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, Black Power Salute. Remember Angela Davis. Remember Bobby Seals. Remember, the Panthers. Remember Black is Beautiful. Remember the Age of Aquarius. Did you miss the 60s? Did you miss the 70s?
You know, he's kind of stuck in the past. He needs to come to the 21st century.
Jimmy Hendrix, who's
the headliner
in Woodstock,
the greatest white concert of all time? Jimi Hendrix was the headliner. Who, again, Earth, Wind, and Fire, who do you think dominated the Stevie
and
Wonder?
And who do you think dominates music today?
Wait, I have a question for Rob.
15 of
Rob,
the top 20.
Do you fear a black man coming and taking me from you?
No.
See, there you go. He's a white man.
I know, but the bottom line is that...
Do you fear blacks taking over?
No.
There you go.
Well, that's one person. How many guns does he have?
<It's so cool. laughs>
He's going to say no if he's got like 20 guns.
It's just an ask. You know,
he doesn't have 20 guns. And his mom happens to be black, so, she's a professional. I don't believe him. We don't fear any blacks taking over. Sorry.
It's like the homeless person that comes up there and goes, I can't work. Can you give me a dollar? Oh, okay, that's going to change your life. No,
have you seen the homeless populations now, John? The homeless populations are full. They're filled with white people.
What you should do is spend your time with the black community, with the brothers and the people on the corners, street corners, and help them out and educate them. But you don't believe in that stuff. You know that they're because they choose to be. They don't want to get a job. They want to do the drugs. So if you were really serious about it, you would be working.
That's
a job, John. That's not what you do. You work with the white people to get the money.
And selling cigarettes and selling whatever, meth. That's all a job. It takes work. Being a prostitute takes work. You've got to be out there. You've got to actually move your body in order to get those funds. It's a job.
I don't know.
It's just
what
not
about
a
the Black Panthers back in the 60s and 70s? They were about doing for self. They took care of their community. They made sure that there was meals for the kids. They made sure that the kids were educated. They made sure that the families had what they needed. And they were doing it before the government interfered and screwed it all up.
And it was complete separation from the white. They wanted their own white communities.
And
they
did. And that's what they have now. But instead of doing for self, they've got their hands out saying, we can't do anything. We can't educate ourselves. We can't feed our kids. We can't go to work. We can't do this. No, there are a lot of black officers as well as black police chiefs in those cities that are predominantly black.
That's why we want to defund the police. That's why we want to restart this whole damn experience and make sure that we do it right.
Well, by doing that, you've also invited the federal government to activate Capitol Police in those states. So now they're federalizing the police. Because they've done that as far as redirecting funds towards other programs to police the areas.
Yep.
So those states have Capitol Police.
Actually,
they're federalizing everything.
Black people wanted to be victims, so they begged the politicians to give them more money.
We don't want to be victims. We are kings and queens. We're proud people. White people.
But you're going to be victims now because the federal government said, okay.
White
proud
people
from
the Mayflower were doggone vagrants, and they were diseased prisoners. They were dregs of the world.
Well, you lost your pride.
Even the Pinta and the Santa Maria, they were worthless. And now the kings and queens that came over from Africa, some of them sold slaves, and then they were bought in themselves. This is a freaking situation where the blacks
and some of them owned slaves here.
They were of the upper echelons, and the whites were the dregs of Europe So, I mean, I don't understand.
And you're right. And let's say you're right. You're totally right. They were the scourge of the earth. And now look.
Yep.
Now look.
Yep.
Domination. Now look. Domination over, you know, everything. Because now the black people can't, all of a sudden, they stop doing for selves. Why didn't they rise up as well?
Because they were slaves. Slaves are taken care of.
Oh, but black people owned slaves here in America.
Oh,
so, you know, that was before the slave trade had happened.
An anomaly?
No, not an anomaly. It's fact. It's fact.
Not a whole lot of black people owned
slaves. It's fact. It's, but it happened.
Yes, it is.
But it happened. It happened.
Yes, it
and
is.
So it doesn't
yes,
matter
it
as far as what situation anybody was in. What it was that person had gained enough assets to be able to own slaves because slaves were expensive. And so that meant that black
away.
Person had done for self.
Talk to me about slavery when I meet the first black slave. You show me a black slave, a real, he's got a master, he has chains on, and I'll talk. The only slaves I see are the Mexicans picking lettuce in the field. Those are the people doing the grunt work.
Those are the new slaves.
You're talking about stuff that I've never seen. I've never seen a black slave in my life.
You see them, the people who work. Are claiming, you know, they claim they're slaves because they have to work for their money.
Because at the border, that's being sex
food stamp. They're working. The working poor are eligible for food stamps. They're eligible for welfare, partial welfare. They're eligible for many social services.
You have a choice, and you're not getting whipped. That's not slavery. Slavery, you know what slavery is.
But you're last on the totem pole. You're the first one, last one hired, first one fired. That's being whipped.
That goes for anybody, depending on the industry that you're in. And as far as eligible for welfare and all of that, I was too at one time, but I didn't take it because I was embarrassed. I was like, I can't believe I would have to do that, you know. And it's like, wow, because I was unemployed, my unemployment ran out, and it was like, I've got bills, I got to eat. But I refuse to go on the welfare system, so I've got to do something. So you go and hit the streets, and you apply, and you get hired somewhere. You got to go door to door to door to door to door to door to door, and it's a numbers game. You knock on the right door, and you're able to get hired, but it may be 20 doors, 30 doors before you actually get an interview to get hired. So it's a numbers game, and it's a numbers game for everybody if you present yourself well as an employable person. Not if you show up with your jeans hanging down off your ass, you got your hat twisted behind your head, and you got tattoos, and you're all gangster. Yo, what's up? You going to hire me? You know, it's like, well, this is actually a people's job, customer service.
A lot of white people right now that look like that.
And they don't get hired.
A lot of white people are running around with tattoos
And they don't get hired. That's why there's so many available jobs right now, because they don't want to work. they want to stay home and be lazy and collect their stimulus checks. Not just black people, white people too.
That's exactly what's happening. And that's what I'm saying. This is a new day. And people are going to, just like Janine came on and she told this truth. She said it like it was. There's a new day. People are going to have to wake up because she can see people, look people in the eye and see there's love in these people. Black people, Hispanics, Indians, they have love. And these white patriarchs have never acknowledged that. These evangelicals have never acknowledged that.
Why do they need to be acknowledged for that? Why do they need to be acknowledged for that? Why can't they just love themselves and go on with their life?
That makes them a human being instead of, like the freaking Constitution said, that they're only 3/5 of a man.
That was not for that reason as far as what people think it is. I mean, come on. And besides.
I never knew that till someone went back in a history book and started quoting stuff from a couple hundred years. I don't even know. It's not even my history. So whether that happened, as it happened, it doesn't.
It
doesn't matter. It doesn't. People don't like Mexicans, so it doesn't matter. It's like people don't have to love you. Stop being
people. Black people don't hate Mexicans. Black people don't hate Indians. Black people don't hate Asians.
Well, even if you did, it didn't matter. Hate is not illegal. It's not a good thing, but it's not illegal.
Actually, in prison, the biggest rivalry are the black and the Mexican gangs. The whites, they leave them alone. It's, you'd think the minorities would gang together and get ahead. No, they fight each other. And, you know, but the point being is that this is again, you got to really just let go of this stuff, and you'll get ahead in life. Like, you can't live your life in anger like this over white people. It doesn't matter. It's not illegal
to be racist. It's not illegal to not like somebody. But people want to be accepted. And it's like, no, I want you to stop being racist. And it's like, but it's not illegal. It's the way I feel. And I don't want to change my mind. Yes, you're going to change your mind.
You're going to change it.
And it's like, no, I'm not going to. And that's the divide.
Fine.
And it's like, well, why can't people just get over the fact that not everybody's going to like you?
That's fine. As long as there are people who are transparent. The main thing that black people are Indian, indigenous, and Hispanics are mad at is not the fact that people don't like us. We don't give a shit.
Well, then why do you want us to be transparent about it? Why do you need acceptance
smile,
from it?
Smile in our face. That's like the song says, smile in face. To know if we're liked or if we're not liked, and we'll adjust to whatever it is.
But you
that's
haven't been
problem.
Able to adjust, or the people haven't been able to adjust, the blacks and the Mexicans or whatever. Because if that were true, then people wouldn't be going around saying, that's racist, or you got to stop being racist, or that dude, that whatever's here happening is racist, and we need this. If you got over it, then that wouldn't be happening.
Do you understand?
Black people know. And Hispanics know whites are racist. Whites just don't know whites are racist.
So why is that important for black people and Mexican people to point out? That's none of your business.
Because we know that you don't like us. There is no doubt.
That is your problem right there. See, you think you can read people's mind. You're
not reading people's minds. It's what's in front of our face.
No. The easiest way to divide people is through race and religion and the politics. That's how you split people up and you divide and conquer. And you know that. It's the United States of America. And see, you're smart enough. You know mind control. You know psyops. You know the media, how you control the people. I'm just surprised you don't understand that they're just using this to separate and divide us. And it's a lie. And you're accepting it. You need to be promoting unity. And love, and you know,
we do promote love. We don't want to work because we want to sit around and have fun and fuck and eat and drink.
Let's say you promote love, but you harbor hate. You harbor hate and you promote love.
We don't harbor hate.
Yes,
we
you
harbor,
do.
We harbor that people lie to us.
That's right. People lie every day. There's no perfect person.
Perfect.
And if you can't get over that, then you harbor hate.
Tell me specifically.
We don't harbor hate. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Then why does it keep cutting up?
That's
who
why we,
lying
because
you?
The white man keeps bringing it up.
No. We don't bring it up. I didn't bring
everybody.
It up. I don't walk around going, hey, I'm doing
black
this to you
people,
because I'm racist.
Black
who specifically? Give me a
name. White people don't like us. We don't give a shit. We don't care.
Then why is it constantly pointed out? Why is it pointed out in colleges with these two girls that are picking on these two guys in this center, this multicultural center, saying you have black or police lives matter, and that offends us. You're racist. Who brought that up? The two black girls. And they wanted those boys out of that study hall when they had a right to be there because it's for everybody. But they were offended by that sticker on that computer, and that happens daily.
The younger generation of minorities believes that equality exists. They believe the lie. Brought our children up to believe that they could be anything they wanted to be, including the president. But us, as the parents, know better. We know that that's not possible. We know that
he knows that we didn't
have
Barack Obama as a president or a first lady.
He, He sold his soul to be that way.
People don't understand politics.
He sold his soul to become president. He sold his soul to Goldman Sachs, to the Clintons, and to various other financial and
political... Doesn't matter. Regardless of who he sold his soul to, he sat in the Oval Office as the commander-in-chief.
And he sat there for two terms because he was so popular after the first term, after bringing up, I mean, he got DACA passed, he got the Nobel Peace Prize, he got all kinds of stuff. And then the Republican Senate came in the next election, and he got Bupkis. He got McConnell saying, we will not work with this president ever. That's exactly what he got. He got the first day he worked, he got he did not finish swearing his oath when Mitch McConnell said, we will never work with this president. What the fuck is that?
Obama's a socialist because Obama was trying. It does matter because Obama. Here's the thing.
Did you hear what Jeanette said? They're all the same. Whether it's a Republican or Democrat, they're all for socialism. And they're all border on communism. They all do. I know this. I work with these people.
Well,
they all want a social. They want a social agenda because what it does is gives money to the 1%. The 1%ers are the ones who take all this.
It's about power. But just going back to a simple
thing.
That's
what the 1% is. The money is the power.
So
money
do you think?
Power, John, you know that.
So am I racist? Is Suzette racist? Is Jane racist?
Oh,
yeah.
Suzette admitted it.
We exploit black people, right? We're taking advantage of black people.
Every day we stop you from getting ahead.
No, we don't. We encourage you to do whatever you want to do. I help, in any way possible, I can to promote all colors, all people. So. The racism is from you, Don. It's not from us. Now,
it's not coming. The racism.
Specifically, who's stopping you? Stopping you from doing something because you're black. Who's stopping you?
I'm not the single voice in here, in the wind.
Did Bill Clinton stop you?
They used to call all of us N-words. I don't know what you're talking about. They're racist.
Your own people call themselves the N-word. That's not
issue. But they use that in a loving fashion because...
Oh, loving? Are you kidding? Have you listened to gangster music? Gangster rap?
Yes.
I'm going to F you up, nigga. You don't listen to stuff. I got my gun, my teeth, and I catch you, blah, blah, blah. It's all about killing each other.
But they also say, my nigga, like, I love you. Like, hey, you're my brother. Because that's true. We know
so
we can use each other.
It's the point
and if
they
you
say
use it, we will kick your motherfucking ass, period.
Well, there you go.
So it's a term of endearment.
I'm sure
the white man has commensurate words for themselves.
I have friends that listen to rap music and they bring it in. They show it to me, and I can tell you 3/4 of it is angry and dark. You'll find Snoop Dogg or someone might do a little happy little thing, but I'm telling you the majority of the stuff, it's angry, it's harsh, it's extreme. And that's the culture, because they got to survive in the hood.
And that's a good thing, because
it's not white people; it's their own brothers.
It's antithetical to fake love bullshit that all these motherfuckers have come out with these whiteys have come out with all this love shit, and you don't remember the 60s and 70s when it was about war and stopping whitey's war. You don't remember all of these people, the mamas and the papas.
Remember about Tutu, I believe, was the guy. What about in Ethiopia, Africa? What about these dictators? They're still there in Africa.
Man. You got to understand the learned culture.
They're wiping out their own people for money.
You learned
the
culture. We didn't know.
That's
we didn't know about guns. We didn't give a shit about guns. We were proficient with our spears and shit. Then we had to learn about guns because they were killing us.
No, you just had spears and knives and swords, right?
We loved our spears and knives.
Islam, you beheaded people. Remember that? The Islamic black people for Africa, beheading people.
Yes. You can kill a person with a spear.
Yeah, you don't need a gun. So all that hate is learned by both races. I tell you, Don, you're just too much.
We didn't need guns, man. Guns are for faggots.
You don't believe this stuff.
Don't have the muscle or the physical attributes to get somebody else to compete with somebody else hand to hand. Black people are proficient enough to compete with anybody hand to hand. We don't need guns. We don't want guns. We don't even like guns.
There's a lot of great white MMA boxers, Asian. There's all races.
God.
Who invented the martial arts? You think that was a black or white thing? China, right?
China.
Bruce Lee.
Right.
Bruce Lee. That's because they hated. They beat him up, right? How come? And they probably killed him. Why? Because he was teaching the white culture the forbidden art of the Chinese monks.
You're talking about Bruce Lee?
Yeah, and the art of war. How about the art of war? You think that was a white man? Where do you think all these great concepts of war and strategy came from? It's from the yellow man. What are you talking about? Who invented gunpowder?
I know it because the white man is fucking dying. He needs the police to save his fat ass.
I think you're kind of losing this argument.
How many Chinese are in MMA right now?
You know, I don't follow it, to tell you the truth. They're all races, so white, black, Asians, they're more into the, I don't even know. They're into their own, talk about this. Put them all up against a sumo wrestler. You saw what happened to Muhammad Ali, the greatest, boxer ever. What happened to him when he went into the ring with a sumo wrestler? Tell me what happened. The sumo wrestler. It was in Tokyo, right? An exhibition, and Muhammad Ali was watching. He said, "Hey, let me in there." He jumped in the ring and said, "Let me get a go at it, right?" And what did the guy do? He picked him up like he was a little 50-pound baby and threw him out of the ring. Look it up. Don't look it up.
Oh no,